Father God, we invite you to be with us today. God, this journey, this walk that we're on with you is a whole life journey. It's not just Sunday morning. And God, I pray that as Colin speaks this morning, that you would stir our imagination and our passion for how we walk with you and journey with you in our whole lives and in our places of work and in our vocation. And Lord, for Colin, we just ask for your peace now, your wisdom, your clarity as he shares. And your passion just to flow through him, that we would receive your heart for how we are in our places of work. Will you open our minds to reframe, God, any preconceptions that we have? Yeah, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Max. I think I don't need to do the talk anymore. That prayer pretty much summed it up. It's definitely not me, because I don't even have a phone on me. So, can you guys hear that? Okay, just me then. Team CCE, how's everybody doing? Yeah? Everybody enjoying the last couple of weeks? The summer has finally arrived. Here we are. And so we're doing this encounter series, and I got to talk about the subject of work, and it's something I'm pretty excited about. I didn't used to be that excited about work throughout my school life, throughout most of university. It wasn't really something that I kind of thought work was this thing that we kind of just had to do. But the real stuff was, you know, the real stuff was in the church, the mission field, and work was this thing that was kind of just a survival tool to get through. So my kind of paradigm has been quite changed over the last 5 to 10 years, and it feels like something that I'm continually just getting more excited about. So I'm really glad to be sharing this morning about it, and I hope I can kind of communicate some of the things that I've been learning. I've been reading a couple of books recently by a guy called David White. I don't know if anybody has heard of David White. He's a poet, and he felt called to move out of his work that he was doing and become a poet before he was doing something, I'm not sure, but he felt this call to completely change his career, to be true to who he was, and he moved into this sort of area of being a poet to the corporate workplace, which is really interesting. Anyway, he's written two books, one called Crossing the Unknown Sea at Work, and another called The Three Marriages, which is talking about your marriage, in your relationships, your work, and your relationship to self. And I'd really recommend, if you're interested in getting into stuff more, that you check out David White. So a little bit about me and my background. I studied in Edinburgh, and pretty much, like I said, had no real interest in what, you know, in work. It didn't really come into my... it wasn't in my consciousness, really. I kind of thought I'd end up in some graduate job, hopefully, and just get enough money to pay the bills. But coming towards the end of uni, I decided to start thinking about what I want to do with my life. Everybody was starting to go to these interviews, and just didn't really feel like that was right for me. And I decided to take a year out and work with a student organization that worked with churches all around Scotland. And sometime in that year, I don't know exactly what happened, but I got this crazy idea to start a business. And it kind of just, I don't know where it came from, but I spent a little bit of time that year in America as well. And I think that was kind of the tip me over the edge, because Americans are so positive. They were like, yeah, you can do it, man. And I came back thinking, this is what I'm going to do. And started talking to some people, found a business partner, and we set up a web design company. No idea what we were doing, but somehow we managed to scrape a living until we kind of figured it out. And that was actually about 10 years ago, almost to the day that happened. And jumping forward a bit, about 2 years ago, I was in America again, and I was sitting in this conference, and I think there were some big sort of speakers from the world of the web were there, and I got this sense again. It was like, uh-oh. And I was like, I've got this idea, and I have to do it. So I came back and started working on this other idea. And that's what I've been doing for the last 2 years. And in January, surprise, surprise, I was in America again, just this year, and came back and said to Kath, I think we're going to have to go, we're going to sell the other business and go full-time into this new business and give it everything. So America for me tends to be one of these kind of places, I don't know exactly why, but that's whenever I get challenged and make some life changes. So one of the biggest things that I learned over those past 10 years of working for yourself is that when you hit difficult times, you have to do quite a bit of soul searching. It's not just a case, you can't just be bored and go in and churn through the day. You really have to start, when you have people relying on you to pay their salaries, that their families are dependent on, it really starts to hit home, and certainly even for your own salary. We have these moments of crisis in our lives, and I think everybody has them, but particularly when you have your own business. But these times of crisis, I think they're also a real opportunity. And this morning we're looking at the subject of encountering God at work. And I just want to start by saying that I believe the greatest gift that we can bring to the world through our work is to bring our full selves. The fullest, most honest, most real expression of who we are, who we're created to be, and who we're designed to be. And in those times of crisis, when we hit those questions that I was just talking about, that's the place where we have to come back to. Because it's the core for me of engaging with these questions of work. The question that I kept, the place I would often go to when I'm having when we're in those crises is saying, God, what do you want me to do? And the answer that I kept getting back was, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? And it kind of flipped it back onto me. And I wasn't expecting that. I was kind of looking for some answer, some direction. And this feeling of, oh, I actually get to choose what I want. It isn't even something I'd really, the first time that happened to me, I really wasn't expecting it. And I found myself straight away going, I want this to work. I want to do this. And that was a real turning point for me. And it felt like once I hit that, it was like, okay, let's do it. And all through the last 10 years, every time we've hit those crisis points and I've said, I really want to do this, something's come through for us and we've been able to keep going. And Yeah. The other thing is, I realized that I wasn't necessarily praying for success. I wasn't praying for money. I was praying, what I was hoping for and praying for was wisdom and understanding. And my prayer was kind of like, God, I don't want you just to keep me going to pay the bills. I want to understand this area that you've brought me into. I want to understand what it means to be in business and what it means to lead a business that can be a blessing and be a support and do good. And it felt like, to me, God said, okay, that's what you want. Let's do it. So this question of getting to what we really want, I think, is really important. And I think living in an imperfect world, it can be really easy to lose our sense of our true unique self. Regardless of all the good things and all the bad things that happen to us along the way, we can get distracted, we can get diverted, and ultimately we can become disengaged with that conversation and that deeper journey. Our work plays a significant role in our lives. We spend a significant amount of time in our place of work. It can be a great source of fulfillment and security, or it can be a great source of unhappiness, or we can just be bored. Earlier this year, The Guardian published an article called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, recorded by a palliative nurse. The second highest thing on the list was, of the top regrets of dying, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. And when I read that, I thought, that is so sad. Because what it is saying is that person's work felt like it was out of sync. It wasn't what they wished they'd actually spent their life doing. The most common thing on the list was, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life that others expected of me. And I think for me, these two things are actually very similar. By that I mean that we can live a life true to ourselves. We can't live a life true to ourselves, and be half-hearted and disengaged with our work. At some point, it's just gonna feel wrong. And I believe that to find a path through life that is true to who we are, we have to begin at some point to integrate who we are with what we do. So rather than trying to separate out our life and our work, or trying to find that elusive work-life balance that we often hear about, we're not working too hard. Instead, we should be asking ourselves the question, what do I really want? Rather than separating out. How can I integrate who I am uniquely into all areas of my life? So when we dig into what we want, I believe we find some challenging stuff as well. Some challenging stuff in our hearts. But in that process, I think it becomes clear where the truth is and where the life and freedom is. So it's great to me that in the church recently, and I don't know when this kind of changed, but it feels like, particularly here in CCE, but also in other churches that I've been to, we're not seeing work as something that just kind of pays the bills. We're actually seeing work more and more as encouraging people to go out and get involved in the world, in society, in politics, in education, in the media, in the arts. That God has created us and gifted us, and we're saying get out and get involved. and bring who you are into all those areas. We are all influencers. We have a kingdom perspective that is unique. We have a God who is wise, and his ways are so much better. And by looking at ways that we can bring faith and hope and love into our workplaces, we can really make a difference. So the challenge for me as I was writing this talk is, it feels like there's occasions in our lives when we have these big moments. So for me, in America, I have these big moments, these big sort of visions of what I want to do. And then we have the daily reality of our life. The burnt toast in the morning, the sleepless night. And it's hard sometimes to live in that big picture and then have things around us just get messy and go wrong. And I think the reality is that we have to, the challenge of finding the balance is something that takes discipline and it takes time. And it's something that I feel like God is calling us on that adventure. And I want to look at a few things in a moment that I think we can do to help engage and keep those two things in balance. An example I was just thinking of that was interesting, Kathy and I were traveling in the south of Ireland a while ago, and we came to this toll road. And just thinking about, or we weren't, we were just kind of having a conversation, we went past this, the lady took like a euro or whatever it was, and the way she smiled at us as she took that euro, we were both just struck by how, you know, wow, something about that lady, I don't know if you remember that, but even somebody sitting in a toll booth just taking euros all day impacted us in a way that just felt like something changed. I was inspired by that, you know, split second of happiness as she, you know, accepted our coin. And I think, so, you know, for me, it just made me think, wow, it's amazing what I can do, what people can do in a few seconds of an encounter when we encounter one another. And it doesn't all have to be the big picture, the big dream, but by being present and being fully ourselves, we have a lot to bring on a daily basis. So it feels to me like, to sort of use the Olympics theme, it's a bit of a long distance race. Being true to our dreams and our daily reality needs a whole kind of strategy. And whatever industry or sector we find ourselves, working or not working, there's no easy path and there are no shortcuts. I think what the key thing is how we stay on this journey, and when it's not the way that we dreamed it originally, but we're committed to staying on it. For me, it's about being attentive to the things that get us excited. So noticing what makes me come alive, what makes me excited, why did I start this job, what would I like to see differently in it? We're in this for the long haul, and I think the little things begin to open up and give us these glimpses and clues of where we find life. It's great to think that we're going to change the world through our music, our art, our business, or whatever, but in reality, the journey or adventure seems to be a lot less glamorous than we might have imagined it. And the danger is that in that, we might get discouraged or disappointed, and get out of touch with a deeper dialogue. But we have to keep coming back to the fact that we are unique and we are called to influence. I just want to read the scripture from Isaiah 40. Because I really felt I was preparing this, that there's some people who are tired and who are saying, yeah, I can't get excited about my work anymore. It's kind of, it's just something that I do. So I just wanted to read this. O Jacob, how can you say to the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all heaven and all earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall with exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I think there's just something in that of however discouraged we are in our work, that there is this hope that we have that God will come and lift us, and he will give us energy. And he's also taking us on a journey that might not be where we end up, but it's part and it's important for us to engage with. I love meeting people who are excited about their work. I went to a conference in Edinburgh a few months ago called Just Banking. It was about how these guys were trying to bring justice in the banking area, and they were engaging with all these leaders. They had somebody from the Bank of England up, and it was really, one of the girls who was organizing it was just really inspiring because she was so passionate that this was her area. This was her area. She was going to bring, she wanted to engage and bring wisdom into the area of banking. And it was just so inspiring for me to see somebody else with passion in a little area that they decided that they were going to make a difference in. Like a marriage, work is often the place where we come face to face with our weaknesses and conflicts with others that tap into deeper issues that we need to explore and show us where we still have some growing to do. Our work colleagues are the people that see us more often than our friends and see a part of us that not everyone else sees. I used to feel at uni as a Christian that it was my duty to live an exemplary life. And I really struggled with that. It wasn't a fun angle to take on being a student and Christian. But now I'm much more trying to live an authentic, honest, engaged life than anything else. And to be real about the challenges and the emotions and all the kind of stuff that goes on and try and share that in the workplace. One of the things that we've been hearing a lot recently is the theme tune of the Olympics this year, Chariots of Fire. And there's one line from that movie, I haven't seen it for ages, but there's one line that I'll never forget. And it's when Eric Liddell says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And the context of that was that he's been asked to go out and do mission work. And he was kind of saying, that's good, but this is what I feel like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I feel like makes me come alive. And I think that's so true, that there's so many ways we can get pulled and pushed, so many obligations that can get put on us. But we're the ones who know what makes us come alive and what makes us feel God's pleasure. And the music from Chariots of Fire as well. Like, when you hear that, I don't know about you, but it just stirs something. It's kind of like those moments, like in any kind of good movie or music, that kind of takes us into this thing and makes us think about being great or being, you know, who we really are. And obviously, we can't live in that place all the time. But I think it's really important that we come back to it. So I've been enjoying hearing that again and again over the course of the Olympics. So how can we stay engaged? How can we not check out? How can we not give up or get disappointed, but hold on to this difficult journey through work that God wants to take us on? I just wanted to look at a couple of things that I wrote down. The first thing for me that I've been learning is about self-acceptance. We are our own harshest critics, but we are also children of God. And I am somebody because of the way He made me. Whatever I've done, whatever my past, I'm forgiven, I'm accepted, I'm loved. And I knew that all intellectually, but it's something that I constantly need to be reminded of. Self-acceptance. So self-discovery, second one. It feels to me that it's important to give time every so often just to be thinking, what am I all about? So I've been taking some time out. Instead of going into the office on Friday, I'd go to a coffee shop Friday morning. Malky and I actually have a coffee 8 o'clock every Friday morning, which is fantastic. It's just sort of a way of connecting and tapping into something, but you know, challenging each other and keeping engaged in our own journeys. And after that, I'll take a few hours out to journal. And that's something that I guess not everybody has the luxury of doing, but I think it's really important for everybody to try and find time in their lives. Doesn't have to be every week, but just some time that feels right to you to take time out to reflect on where am I at right now? What am I feeling? Do I feel engaged? Do I feel this is... Is there something that I should be aware of? Just tapping into that. Really important. The third one is understanding our journey so far. Everybody at some point hits the reality of living in an imperfect world with imperfect parents, imperfect teachers, family members, friends, and leaders. We pick up wounds along the way. And Richard Rohr says that these wounds that we pick up can become holy wounds or sacred wounds. And I think for me, I used to think that my goal was to become this kind of perfect person, to kind of get healed of all that stuff and to move into this ultimate lean, mean fighting machine. Especially when you feel called to step into leadership or into business, there can be that sense of really projecting, this sense of having it all together. And what I've discovered on this journey for me is that these wounds are part of our story. The things that we picked up, the things that have hurt us, they're a part of our story, and they can become healed. But they don't go away. And I think it's this picture here says it really well. It's just that sense of Jesus, his wounds did not go away. They're still there. They've become healed, but they're part of who he is, and they're part of who we are. And I think understanding that is something that's been really important to me. The fourth one is the journey with others. A big part of understanding who I am has come through the conflicts and the tensions with those that are close to me, at work, at home. But again, rather than keeping running away from people every time relationships get difficult, by going through the healing process, I've learned a lot about who I am and that I can be trusted, I can be wrong, and that I can be forgiven for making mistakes. And that's a very powerful place. And my friendships that I have right now are really significant to helping me stay on course with what I'm called to do and keeping me on track. So the journey with others. And the final one was the space for silence. We, Maki and I and Simon and a few others have done, James, have done this men's rites of passage thing that happens every year, currently up at the Beald in Perth. And it's 5 days long, and one of the days you spend in complete silence on your own. And it's amazing what happens when we get out of our normal environment. The encounter that we can have in that silent place is so powerful. It's amazing that it can speak. We can find ways that God speaks to us in such a deeper way. And since that time away, I've been trying to build silence into my life on a regular basis. It's so countercultural to have silence. It's so awkward in a way to not always have music on, or to not always be having conversation. But finding a moment of silence on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis, so hard but so good. And it's something that I feel like if we don't have silence in our lives, it's just such a struggle to actually hear the real stuff that's going on in us. So, okay, those are five things that I just wanted to touch on about going on that deeper journey with work. And I think, I guess it feels like it's not really on the subject of work, but for me, the point is not about what we're doing, but who we're becoming, because that's who shows up in the workplace. And that's what makes a difference. That's what transforms people, to see us in a different way. And that's what I've realized is going to make the biggest difference for me, is to go on this journey and to become different, to become transformed, and to engage with other people, whatever that looks like. I started off my 20s full of energy and hope. I remember walking down Lothian Road and looking at Standard Life and thinking, ha, I will never work for a corporate organization. I'm master of my own destiny, very arrogantly. And then I remember walking back about 3 years after that going, I would love a job at Standard Life. I'll take it. I think we go through these knocks in our life, but it doesn't mean that the stuff that we had before we need to ignore or we need to disregard. Some of those things that I had when I was in my 20s, I still hold on to those. Getting married, having kids, exhausting. I remember feeling like, I wrote a poem actually once, and I started off saying something like, I feel like I'm washed up on an old boat. My mind, which used to be so active and so engaged, feels creaky. I feel like I'm half the person that I used to be. But that was just sort of, you know, a few years. Yeah, I think it is. And especially for guys, you know, I think I can go to work on a Monday morning. Kind of, I always used to say TFI Monday, you know, it was kind of like the kids are so much work on the weekend. And but Kath has to be engaged in that the whole week and doesn't get a break. And it can really knock your whole, what you're doing. Kids can really come in and make a big difference. But just a slight understatement, yeah. But it feels like, to me, the thing is not to try and to separate everything out. This is part of our journey, and our energy levels will change. Our day-to-day reality will change. But our journey into who we are is still a constant. And Another thing for me that's connected to this is like I said, is our relationships. And the big thing for me in work is that I can't ignore that our marriage is a significant part of that as well. And one of the things Kathy and I did to try and invest a bit into our marriage was to go off on do this two-day course in the south of Ireland, in Dublin. And one of the things that they got us to do as an exercise as a couple was to think about our future together and to think about where we wanted to be when we were a bit older. And interestingly for me in that exercise, we kind of got together, we were able to share a bit of what we saw, and I was able to share with Kathy a little bit about what I was seeing, and it kind of helped us form this unified sense of what we were all about as a couple. For me, I saw a picture of us like a tree, that we were being an anchor point for lots of people who were trying to set up businesses in the city, that were trying to create jobs, and that were trying to, and we were trying to support community and just nurture them, because often they don't have family around them, and they don't have, they just have work and that's it, and that can be quite destructive. And we felt that we were going to, part of our role in the city was to just to be a family for these people. And that's, having that something that we both are part of has really helped us, because when it's taken me out and taken me into working longer hours, it's been something that we know that we're in this together. It's not just, this is my thing, it's our thing. And I know that we're in it together. And that's been really important. The saying, a happy wife, happy life, maybe it's kind of undermines it slightly, but it does feel like as you go on your journey with work, it has to be, if you're in a relationship, it has to be something that you integrate. So one final thing on the subject of work. Success. That's something that I think we really need to reconcile. For me, I've always struggled praying for success. I've never really known, is that something that I should be asking for? I've always heard that our failures have a lot more to teach us than our successes. But at the same time, we don't want to go around a business. And this picture up here, one of the things, the flip sides for me of the Olympics has been seeing some of the devastation of people who haven't won. And I don't know if you saw the interview with these guys with John Emmerdale, where he was almost in tears. But these guys were so gutted that they only got silver, that they had to be pretty much carried out of the boat. They felt like their last 4 years had been a waste. They got gold last time in Beijing. They couldn't get it again. They could only get the silver. And I think that our whole relationship in this culture to success is really weird in a way. These guys, they did their best. They did a great job. They got pipped by somebody else that was out of their control, and they were devastated. For me, I don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to live my life looking around me, thinking, what are other people doing? I think for us, we have to run hard after God. We have to run hard after what He's called us to do. But we don't have to strive. We don't know if we're going to be successful or if we're going to be wealthy or whether we're going to be out of work. The point is that as we go on this journey, we find this deeper happiness, we find this deeper life, and we find healthy relationships. And that, for me, is what I'm looking for in business as well. For me, it's not a success to get to the end and have stepped all over people. The apprentice model of business to me is not, or the Alan Sugar sort of mindset is not what business is all about. Success is something that continually eludes us. If we get good grades, we have to get better grades. If we get a good promotion, we have to then get the next promotion. If we get into that habit, we're always running after the next thing. And I think this, what I'm trying to say this morning is that as we engage in our work, just to be really aware of what was driving us. Success feels very different to me than what we see on the TV. So just to recap this morning, I want to ask the question, how are you engaging with what you really want? And how does who you are fit in with your work? How are you doing and becoming more present and more fully yourself? What do you dream about? What would you like to see changed? What are you doing right now that you might think, I could do something different? Maybe signing up for a night class. Maybe starting to explore learning in another area. There's so much. And maybe it's just, how can you do what you're doing with a more sense of God is with you and a sense that you are there, fully present, on the journey, showing up every day. So that's kind of it for me. I really feel like I wanted to pray for two groups of people this morning. For those of you who feel stirred but feel tired, or that need to reawaken a dream or a vision to the adventure that God's calling you on, I'd really like to pray for you. And for those who feel that a dream already burning in them but need the courage to take the next step, I'd like to pray for clarity and for wisdom this morning as well. And I just believe as a church, there is an opportunity for us just to really, just to be released into the world and to bring the fullest expression of what we have. And I think that's something we want to encourage. We're not holding anybody back. The message is go for it. And let's learn along the way. So maybe just invite the band to come back. Do you want to just play, and then we'll maybe do the response and take your song, and I'll pray. And if anybody else wants to pray for people in this area, that'll be really great as well. Okay.